Name?
Eddie Locklear. Prison number 33476-4.
Age?
24.
Charge?
Grand larceny, first degree. Jewels.
Sentence being served?
5 to 10 years. I have served out 3 years and 4 months, and now I'm up for parole.
Tonight, again, another in the exciting new crime series, Up for Parole. Authentic cases as actually presented to the parole boards in your state prisons and reenacted here for the first time. Now, Bob Hite.
During the next half hour, you will sit in judgment on the freedom of another human being. You will be asked to judge whether that person shall become your neighbor, your employee, perhaps your friend, or whether he must remain where you, society, have put him, behind prison bars. Well, that human being is a criminal. Now, up for parole. The story you are about to hear is taken from the official records of Eddie Locklear, prison number 33476-4. Up for parole.
And Locklear, having served such a portion of your sentence, you're entitled now to tell this board your story. That is, the facts bearing upon your crime. Go ahead, Locklear.
Yes, sir. Oh, where shall I start, sir?
Well, we have the facts of your case, the official records before us here. Is there anything you'd like to tell us about yourself?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, for instance, how have you made out in jail here?
I'm doing my work, minding my own business.
What kind of work have they had you doing?
Down the radio repair shop. I was always interested in radio. That's kind of why I'm here in the first place.
Uh-huh, that's interesting. Our records show you got yourself involved with a very wealthy woman. But I suppose that'll come out in due time. Now, you said that you were always interested in radio work. What do you mean, always?
Well, since I was a kid, it was radio, radio, radio. I was always looking at things I couldn't have. Always walking around the streets with my girl. Both of us looking in store windows at things we...
$5 for a radio amplifier. That's a lot of money.
Oh, if I could get the parts, Kathy, I could make it for half. Now you take a thing like that modulation transformer.
Oh, Eddie, come on. All you think of is radio.
Sure. Look at that stuff. Volt ohmmeters, power transformers, crystal control transmitters. But you gotta have dough. You gotta have dough.
Come on, Eddie. Quit dreaming.
Quit dreaming. Yeah. Listen, Kathy. Listen, one of these days I'm going to have that stuff. Stuff I want. You too. Dresses you want. Fur coats. Stuff like that. You're going to get them.
Oh, Eddie, don't talk foolish.
You'll see. You'll get it. Because I'm going to get dough. How, I don't know, but I'm going to have it. We're going to get what we want. And not just have to press our nose against the glass in the window like it was Christmas candy, either. You'll see. Come on, let's go home.
All right. Bus or subway?
Bus or subway? On what? We walk.
I come home that night, or one night like that, I don't know, back to the tenement. I was anxious to get back to my own radio work.
In your home?
Our flat. 2 rooms. My ma was a scrub woman. My kid sister was sick all the time. So I built her a little receiver so she'd get music and stories and all that, you know. Besides that, I had a little 10-watt transmitter. I come to the house and there was fire wagons pulling away, water in a gutter, and a rotten, smoky smell in the hallway. Come upstairs and the flat...
Hey, what's the matter, Ma? You hurt? What happened? Well, what's about this fight?
Eddie. Oh, Eddie.
Now, listen to me. What happened?
There was a fire in the cellar, Eddie.
Yeah, I know. How'd it start?
Your radio stuff made a short circuit downstairs.
Oh, sirs.
Mr. Superintendent.
Hey, he's crazy, old jerk. Well, what are you crying for? What'd he do, Ma? What'd he do?
Oh, nothing, Eddie. Nothing.
You're crying over nothing? What did he do?
Oh, nothing, Eddie. Just said we'd have to get out. Said he was sick and tired of you stealing electricity from the meter for the radio. He wanted to bust up the radio. So he came in mad and I got in his way.
So he hit you?
Oh, no, Eddie. Just, he just pushed to get the radio.
Dirty lousy can't push us around.
Eddie, no. Eddie. Eddie, come back. Eddie, come back.
Like I said, I was a tough kid. Well, we had a little fuss, Super and me. That's all.
That's all. According to these records, it was enough to send you to the reformatory for 2 years. Oh. Superintendent was seriously hurt. He was in the hospital for 6 months.
Oh, I just pushed him like he pushed my ma. I fell down the stairs.
You were avenging your mother.
He was.
On a 67-year-old man. You went out looking for him. Looking for trouble.
He came looking for me, and he took it out of my ma.
Just one more question. You said you had some radio equipment in the flat, a radio for your sister and a transmitter.
10-watt crystal. I built them myself.
Your family was very poor. Where'd you get the parts?
What? Well, you know...
We don't know, Buckland.
You can scrounge that kind of stuff from shops, stuff from second-hand, tear-down jobs. I got some of it from a friend of mine's uncle.
Larry's uncle?
Yes, sir.
Did Larry's uncle know you took it?
No.
All right, Loughlin, let's go on now. What happened when you got out of the reformatory for the assault on the superintendent?
I stood out a couple of months.
And then?
Back in.
Couldn't keep out of trouble?
I was just a young kid.
How old?
That time, 16, 17.
You think you've learned anything this time? Now that you're older?
Oh, yes, sir. I had plenty of time to think and make my mind up to go straight. Honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go on, Lachlan. When you got out of the reformatory the last time.
Yeah. Kathy was waiting for me, I remember, when I come out of that gate. Oh, I was sore. I walked right past. I wouldn't even talk to her.
Eddie, it's me. Eddie, don't you know me?
Yes, I know you. Who told you to come? What's the matter? Can't you trust me 1 minute to myself? Can't you even trust me to keep my nose clean the first day out of jail?
Oh, Eddie, don't be mad. I wanted to surprise you. I got news for you, Eddie. I had a special reason to come up to tell you something. Eddie, it's going to be all right.
Sure, sure. Now I got a swell record and no job. All right.
It is. You remember Larry's uncle, the one with the radio place?
Larry Walker's uncle?
Yeah. His uncle died, Eddie. And guess who's running the radio shop?
Larry? No.
Yes.
Larry, a radio shop? What does that guy know about radio?
Oh, honey, you're laughing already.
Yeah, I gotta see that.
You're gonna, Eddie. That's what I came up to tell you. You're gonna work for Larry. And not because you're old friends, either. Larry wants you there. He needs you there. You see, somebody needs you besides me. Honest, Eddie, from now on it's going to be all right.
It was all right, too. Larry did need me. Like I told him, the guys he had before me were rooking him for plenty. Buying army surplus stuff and billing them list prices. That Larry. Right away he wanted me for a partner. He offered me a partnership for $1,500. If I could raise the dough. It was a start. I knew I could build it up. First, I made some testing panels, some FM stuff. I started reading up on television. We really went for that stuff, Larry and me.
So you had plans to build up the radio shop?
Yes, sir. Because I wanted to marry Kathy.
How does that fit in with this rich woman? This, Miss Bradley?
Claire Bradley?
Yes. What about her?
Well, the whole thing was a mistake. It was a mistake right from the start. She even got our radio shop on the phone by mistake. She meant to call a regular shop, but she forgot the phone. She was calling for a repairman. I said to Larry, I got a date with Kathy. I can't go. I'll fix it up for you, he says. Go ahead, we can use a business. All right, I said, I'll go. Where's the address? Park Terrace Apartments. Park Terrace? Boy.
Radio, ma'am.
Oh, yes, come right in. Right. It's right over there.
Beg pardon, ma'am?
The radio.
Oh. It's a big piece of furniture.
Well, it just went dead. I'd have sent it out, but I wanted to listen to the symphony.
Ah, well, sis. All right, put my kit right down here on the rug.
Certainly.
Yeah? She's dead, all right. Hey, what'd this job set you back?
Enough. But you see, I like music.
Symphony stuff. I don't go for that.
I like them both. Jazz, Beethoven, it's all music. There's a lot to classical music, you know.
Oh, sure, I know. It takes time to get on to it. People like me, I guess we can't take the time, you know. Yeah, here's the trouble right here. Rectifier tube's burned out. Yeah, I like my music raw, you know. Rhythm. Low down, like.
That's very interesting, Mr.
Lachlan. That's right. Hey, it's lucky I had a new tube with me. All right. Let's see how she behaves now. Got to let her warm up. Where's the volume control?
Right here, this one.
We'll be all right now.
Mozart.
Huh?
That's Mozart they're playing.
Oh, sure. It's too thin for my blood, ma'am. I like something you can whistle, you know? Well, if you have any more trouble with it, let us know. So she tries to sell me classical music, Kathy. Me! Imagine.
What was she like, Eddie?
Are you jealous? Honey, I can remember the number of every tube in a radio, but I couldn't tell you the color of her eyes or the stack of Bibles. You know, the kind of rich dame, lives alone, enough dough to live on without working.
Nice home?
Park Terrace, the best.
Pretty clothes?
Honey, you'll have them someday. Listen, you wouldn't want to be her. Nice house, sure. Clothes, jewelry, sure. Yeah, sure. There she sits up in a classy joint. And what's she got? Classical music. forget it. Let's go get some chow mein. So, that's that. A week later, the phone again. Claire Bradley. The radio's on the blink again. Can I come up and fix it? Well, sure. But this time... The tubes don't even heat. The plug ain't even plugged in.
I know. I pulled it out.
What gifts?
I wanted to see you again.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Sit down a minute.
This doesn't figure.
I don't know what you mean exactly by that expression, but, you know, you're a very interesting young man.
Me? Interesting?
Yes. I've never forgotten what you said about music. Raw, you said. You liked it raw.
Well, sure,
don't you see, I've never known anyone who felt that way, thought that way, or talked that way. You're different, and I want to know you. Wouldn't you like to know me better?
Well, what is this?
Just somebody trying to make friends, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
I know it doesn't seem to make any sense, but sit down, let me try to explain. At least stay a while, have a drink.
Yeah, I could use one of those.
Wonderful. You take soda or water, Mr.? I don't even remember your name.
I take my liquor straight. The name is Eddie.
We'll return to our file in just a moment. But first, Molly Goldberg's famous invitation to fun in the Bronx, Yoo-hoo, Mrs. Bloom, now echoes across the country each Saturday night on CBS. It's the same fine brand of comedy mixed with a tear now and then that's made Molly and her family, Jake, Sammy, Rosalie, and the others, favorites for many years. CBS invites you to hear the Goldbergs on most of these same CBS stations this Saturday and every Saturday. Back to the true story of Eddie Laughlin, prison case number 33476-4, the man who is up for parole.
That's how it started, gentlemen of the board. Claire Bradley just wanted to understand me. As for me, I'd never known anything like that in my life. Park Terrace apartment, a rich girl.
You enjoyed that?
Well, it was different than I'd ever known.
You and Miss Bradley were friends?
Yes, sir. She took me out. Concerts, nightclubs, theaters.
Laughlin, we have a transcript of a statement from Miss Bradley in which she says that there was no friendship between you.
What?
She said...
Oh, no, sir, it wasn't...
Never mind, Laughlin, never mind. We'll get back to that. In the meantime, though, you said before that you were a straight shooter with Kathy. Tell us how you reconciled that statement with what you told us about Miss Bradley.
Yes, sir. Come to her head in the shop with me and Larry. He said he wanted to talk to me.
I hope you know what you're doing, Eddie.
Ah, don't give me that look, Larry. I tell you, I know.
Miss Kathy, where does she think you go evenings? Babysitting?
Outside jobs, I tell her.
You're heading for trouble.
Trouble? What kind of trouble? When I get tired of it, I'll brush the dame off.
Dames? Claire Bradley's no dame. They don't brush off easily.
Look, you're making something out of nothing. Me and Kathy, it's still a real thing. For the brush off, when it comes, that'll be that. When I get ready. OFF, off.
What about the shop, Eddie? I still want you for a partner, but going to fancy concerts and shows with a ritzy dame, that ain't going to get you any $1,500. And what's more, you might lose Kathy. Eddie, who are you kidding, huh? Who do you think you're kidding?
Well, I was thinking of what Larry said, thinking about Kathy. And all of a sudden, on the way up to Claire's, I got sore. I got sore at everybody. I was all mixed up. I felt rotten. Claire asked me what was wrong. Nothing, I said. Tell me, she says. No, I says.
Come on, Eddie, you can tell me.
You won't like it.
Go ahead, Eddie.
Well, it's the whole thing, the whole setup. You and me, it don't figure. It's wrong.
Why?
You know why. Come from the wrong side of town. I don't belong up here with the bright lights. It's too rich for my blood. I want out.
Eddie, please.
Look, I'm going to make it easier for you. You want to know what I've been hanging around for? Money. Yeah, money. I need it. I need a lump of dough to get started, to buy into a radio shop, to marry my girl, if you want to know. First I figured you were a mark, and I got to know you, and now I... Claire, I just gotta get out.
Money. How much money is a lump of money?
Why? What difference does it make?
How much is it, Eddie?
$1,500, why?
That isn't so much.
You.
Haven't got much cash here, but if you won't go away, if you'd... Don't run away from me. Why? Look, here, this bracelet. This ring, they're worth more than $1,500.
Sure.
Take it. You can pawn it, and then you can...
Oh, I can't take it.
You can pay it back when the shop's doing all right.
Yeah, I could. I could pay it back little by little. I can't make a deal like that. It ain't fair to you. How do you know I'll come back?
I trust you. Take it, Eddie. There. Oh, Eddie. Eddie.
And so that's your story. She gave you the jewels.
Yes, sir.
You didn't steal them.
No, sir.
You intended to pay her back?
Yes, I did, sir.
But you never did go back to see her.
Well, I never told this before, but I did go back. She kept calling the store, driving me crazy, calling, calling, why didn't I see her? Finally, it got so I was afraid she'd come over and Kathy'd find out. So I went over there. I went to the door, but I didn't go in. I just stood there when she opened it. Claire, I'm not coming in. We're through. It's all washed up. As for the jewelry, I'll pay you back a little every week, the best I can.
Eddie, don't make me beg.
It won't do no good. It's all over.
If it's money, if you need more money,
look, you can't buy me with dough.
Buy you? Why, you're cheap. You're a cheap.
Oh, I'm cheap. Now it comes out.
Wait a minute, I didn't mean
you
it.
You meant
it. All right, I didn't mean it, you cheap. You think there's nothing at the other end of a telephone but a cheap radio repair man? Well, there is. There are insurance men. There are policemen.
You wouldn't do that.
Oh, wouldn't I? It's your last chance, Eddie.
No.
That's all. Inspector Becker, please.
Claire,
yes.
What are you doing?
Yes. Hello, Inspector. This is Claire Bradley. Yes, I am.
Claire.
I'd like to report some of my jewels are
Claire.
Missing. Yes. And the last time I saw them was when a radio repairman was here. His name is.
And you still say she gave you the jewels?
She gave them to me. Yes.
But you pleaded guilty. Why?
It was my word against hers, my record against a woman with money. Besides, the DA offered me a deal.
What kind of a deal?
Promised me if I'd plead guilty, they'd get me off light.
So, you pleaded guilty?
Yes, I pleaded guilty.
But you weren't?
No, sir.
All right, let's return to Miss Bradley now. You say Miss Bradley was in love with you. At least your story seems to be intended to make this board gather then.
Well, she was, otherwise she wouldn't have given me this stuff.
Yet we have a record, a transcript of her statement to the district attorney, which did not appear in the court proceedings since you pleaded guilty. But Miss Bradley herself said, and I quote, I did not at any time offer to lend or give Lachlan any jewels or money, and his claim that there was any friendship between us is as
preposterous
as
it is
criminal.
In the first place, I didn't call him back to fix my radio. He came to the door about a week after his first call and asked how my radio was working. Seemed like a very decent young man, so I let him in, primarily out of pity. There was never any attachment between Mr. Lachlan and myself, and he never accompanied me to any social affairs. Any friendship that did exist was purely, on my part anyway, interest in his rather rough character. And on his part, I'm convinced by experience,
purely and simply
for the purpose of robbing me.
What do you say to that, Lachlan?
The doorman and a police source go out together. He could give you a statement, too.
We tried to obtain a statement from him, but he died more than a year ago.
Oh.
Well, what have you got to say for yourself, Lachlan?
Just that I got a clear prison record. There's a job waiting for me on the outside back in the radio shop. That Catherine Reardon's waiting for me outside, too. Want to get married and start out all over again. That's all.
Lachlan, it's only fair to tell you one or two factors which have to enter into our decision.
Yes, sir.
In the first place, you said it was your word against Miss Bradley's. Against your word was not only Miss Bradley's statement, but your school record, your reform school history, the fact that you yourself here could not explain where you obtained your radio material. Did you follow me, Lachlan?
Yes, sir.
Then there was your attack on the superintendent. And besides that, your own lack of personal responsibility toward the girl who loved you.
Yes, sir.
This board doesn't concern itself too much with the circumstances surrounding the crime as you relate it. It may be true that Miss Bradley did give you the jewels. But we have no way of judging the truth or falsity of your story. We can say, however, that your mother has told us that you were and that you are a good son. And Miss Reardon has complete faith in you. Do you know that?
I know that, sir.
But you must not forget that you have a sick, uncontrollable temper, which under stress of circumstance makes you unable to handle yourself carefully or even normally. Do you know that about yourself?
I think so.
Uh-huh. All right, Lachlan, the board will make its decision. Step outside with the guard.
While Eddie Lachlan waits and the parole board reviews his story and his parole file, you too have a decision to make on his case. Weigh Eddie Lachlan's story carefully before you form your judgment, because in a moment you will have an opportunity to compare your decision with that of the actual board before which he appeared. This Saturday night, CBS's Gangbusters program mixes a chocolate malted, a singing bug, and a desperate gun battle for one of its most exciting stories. This Gangbusters story has been taken straight from the Detroit police files and will be narrated by the Chief of Detectives of the Detroit Police. You're cordially invited to hear this real-life anti-crime tale, The Case of the Reluctant Wheeler, when Gangbusters is heard on most of the same CBS stations this Saturday night. Now, the decision of the parole board in the case of Eddie Lachlan, prison number 33476-4, the man who is up for parole.
Edward Lachlan, stand up.
Yes, sir.
This board has reached a decision in your case. Edward Lachlan?
Sir.
Mindful of your past resistance to normal ways of society, this board now feels that if you are placed in continuous custody of the proper person, you will strongly benefit. Our decision, therefore, is parole granted. You may go.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, Lachlan.
Yes, sir.
Don't take this wrong, but up to now, the best thing about you has been your best friends, your mother, your girl, your friend Larry. They're waiting outside. Don't let them down again.
I won't, sir. Never.
Good luck. Next case.
Eddie Lachlan may now be your neighbor, your employee, your friend. He and Kathy are happily married. They have two children, both girls. And Eddie is responsibly employed by a large radio manufacturing concern. The true story of Eddie Lachlan has been told tonight in the interest of thousands of men and women in American prisons who may someday come up for parole. You have been listening to Up for Parole with James McCallion as Eddie Lachlan, written by Alan Sloan, produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. Research by Wally Gould. Music was under the direction of Harry Salter. Listen again at this same time next week when CBS will bring you the actual story of case number 755-2, the Cleveland Peacock. Up for Parole. This is CBS, where you meet Gene Autry every Saturday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.